Let's open up at the book of Genesis, chapter 12. I know that we're going through our faith book series and seeing all our friends in Hebrews chapter 11, and we are going to get there a little later on. But I want to do it a different way this morning. I want us to actually start with the historical account of Abraham in Genesis and chapter 12. Remember, we're thinking about those verses that say that by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from Abraham, and as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as sand on the seashore. And that's what we're going to get to a little later on. But first of all, from Genesis chapter 12. Now, some of these things do the email circuits quite frequently, and sometimes they disappear for a few years and they come back out again. Truths about life that little children have learned. One, no matter how hard you try, you can't baptize cats. Two, when your mum is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Three, never ask your three-year-old brother to hold a tomato. Four, never hold a duster buster and a cat at the same time. And five, you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Great truths about life that adults have learned. One, wrinkles don't hurt. Two, families are like fudge, mostly sweet but with a few nuts. Three, middle age is when you choose your cereal for the fiber, not for the toy. And four, laughing is good exercise. It's like jogging on the inside. Laughing is good exercise. It's like jogging on the inside. That sounds to me a better option than actual jogging. There's something very sad about the person who's lost all the ability to laugh and who no longer smiles. I know that we go through some very sad situations and circumstances in life when it is very hard to smile and almost impossible to laugh. So I'm not talking about smiling all the time or laughing non-stop. That would be false. That would be unreal. But I am talking about a life where you do not smile, a life where you just do not laugh. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. But should Christians smile? Should Christians laugh? Did Jesus? He's known as the man of sorrows. But do you think that meant he never smiled? Or he never laughed? Would children have run to Jesus and hung around him if he never smiled or never laughed? What we're going to learn about this morning is that there are actually many things in our Christian faith that do make us smile and do make us laugh despite our current situation. So we're going to start in Genesis and Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to consider for our first point God's plan and God's purpose and how he brings that about. It's important to know that God does have a plan and a purpose. This is one of the things that distinguishes our faith from the evolutionary theory that has no plan or purpose. It's all chance. No, we believe that God has a plan and a purpose for this world and for human life. We believe that God is up to something. You can't see him, but he's up to something. He's doing something great. Now, God's purpose then is stated in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3. These are God's unconditional promises to Abraham. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. We saw that last week. And then here's the promises God makes. I will make you, Abraham, into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Five times God says, I will. God is going to do awesome things for Abraham and through Abraham. He's going to reverse the curse of the fall. He's going to bless people. He's going to bless Abraham, first of all, and then bless people through Abraham. And God is going to bring great blessing. So the word bless is also used five times. In these verses, God says, I will five times. He says, I will, and blessing five times. It's tremendous verses. Really uplifting. Now, with all the promises that are actually combined here, I just want to highlight two for our purpose this morning. First of all, God promises to make Abraham into a great nation. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation. And that in reputation, because of the wonders that God would do for Israel. People would speak of Israel in such a way as to say, nobody else has a God like that. But also God will make them into a great nation in population. They'll be as many as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. So that's the first promise, a great nation. Now for that to come about through Abraham, Abraham had to have at least one child. It wouldn't happen otherwise. The second promise, just to identify here, is in verse 3, when God says that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. Now that is like wow and wide-ranging. It's global. It's worldwide. All peoples on earth. And it's chronologically long as well. It's history long. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. We know from Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, that has its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. According to the flesh, Jesus was a descendant of Abraham. But for that to happen, Abraham had to have at least one child. So for both these promises to take place, for Israel to become a great nation, and for Abraham's seed to become a great nation, and for all peoples on earth to be blessed through Abraham's seed, then they needed, Abraham and Sarah needed, at least one child. You couldn't become a great nation with uncountable descendants unless you start somewhere. You couldn't be a blessing to the whole world through your descendants, unless you had descendants. So Abraham and Sarah needed at least one child. But there's a problem. Chapter 11, verse 30 says this. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Abraham's wife couldn't have children. And it wasn't as time went on, Abraham and Sarah were getting any younger either to reverse that situation. Chapter 12, verse 4. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. We know from other scriptures that Sarai was 10 years younger than Abraham. Forget all the jokes about the older man, the younger woman, but she was 10 years younger. So I haven't forgotten all the jokes, but I'm containing all the jokes about that. So Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65. So if they were to have a child and they were getting older, and besides Sarah was childless and couldn't have children, then God had better do something quick. And he'd better do something very quick, or so we think. Now this is where the fun begins. How does God bring his purpose to pass? Well, he does it in such a way to show that it is all of him and that he is not in a rush. So the promise is given in chapter 12, and then you expect perhaps something immediately to happen at the end of chapter 12. It doesn't. So then you read chapter 13, and again, it's like nothing happens about a child in chapter 13. So then you get to chapter 14, you think something's going to happen now. No, nothing happens in chapter 14 regarding Abraham and Sarah and a child either. Nothing seems to take place. It looks as if God's purpose for Abraham and the world has sunk. It's buried. It's forgotten. Abraham's not going to be a great nation. The world's not going to be blessed. God's forgotten his promise. Then chapter 15 happens. And Abraham begins that chapter with a complaint. Verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, You've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. And you can really feel Abraham's pain at this point of not having children. And we do not want to lessen that reality in any way. But Abraham complains to God about this situation. I can't have children. So what does God do about that for Abraham? Verse 4, God answers it. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. This is a specific promise. Abraham, you are going to have a child. Your own flesh and blood is going to be your heir. And then God, in verse 5, took Abraham outside and said, Look up at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. How did Abraham respond to that promise? Verse 6. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He believed God. He could not see it. He knew it was in the future, but he believed God. And that verse, when you get to verse 6, that the Lord credited righteousness to Abraham on that belief, that really forms the whole basis of the whole salvation that we enjoy. A salvation that's by faith alone. That God credits righteousness to us when we believe God's promise in Jesus. So Abraham's got this promise then. He knows that he is going to have a child. Time moves on. You get to chapter 16. Sarah gets a little bit impatient, Abraham's wife. She gets a little bit impatient. And this is what we read in verse 1. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. And again, we feel the pain of that. And we don't want to skate over the surface of what's that like for many people. But Abraham's wife had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, The Lord has kept me from having children, so go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Here's now Sarah's idea about getting a family. Abraham, sleep with someone else and have a child through her. Well, Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. Sometimes you just got to do what your wife says, haven't you? Verse 3, so after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. Notice a few things about this. First, they've been living in the land 10 years. That means at this point now, Abraham was 85 and Sarah was 75, 10 years on. And Abraham has this child. But it's not Sarah's child. And it's not God's way. And it's not God's plan. It's Abraham and Sarah's plan. And many people at this point come down hard upon Sarah and says, What a stupid suggestion. Why did she ever think of that? Well, actually, Abraham is just as much to blame as Sarah for this situation of sleeping with this other woman. Abraham didn't have to do it. But he agreed. So this child comes about. But it's not the promised child. It's not the one that God was going to bring about through Abraham and Sarah. And as a discipline to Abraham and Sarah's sin at this point, God withdraws himself for 13 years, and doesn't appear to Abraham and Sarah or speak to them for 13 years. Until you get to the end of chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 15. So Hagar bore Sarah, bore Abraham a son, and Abraham gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abraham was now 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. And then you've got a 13-year gap. Chapter 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old. So, had the child at 86. 13 years later, he's now 99 years old. God speaks again. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. That is my condition to you. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. God is now renewing his promise. After 13 years, God renews this promise. You're going to have a child. And in verse 15 and 16, it's spelled out again. Verse 15. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you're no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. It's really specific now. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. So, Abraham, you're 99. Sarah, she's 89. But here's my specific promise. You're going to have a child. How does Abraham respond this time? Verse 17. Abraham fell face down. And he laughed. He laughed. And he said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? He laughs at this. Why does he laugh at it? Because it just seems impossible. Really, God? Me and Sarah? We're going to have a child together? Oh, come on! Why didn't you do this 25 years ago when I was a mere 75 and I could bear up with sleepless nights? But 100 sleepless nights at 100. Well, maybe that actually begins again then. So here's the promise. Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child. And Abraham laughs. Does he laugh with unbelief? Or does he laugh with incredulity? Pretty much the same thing. Or does he laugh with joy? Oh, just... I can't believe this. Well, it was enough to make him smile. Well, God affirms it in verse 19. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. So it's going to happen. Well, the story continues. Chapter 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent. He was 100, so this was a pretty incredible thing. He hurried from the entrance to his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried again into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said. Sarah, you're 90. Be quick, he said. Get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. There's a lot of rushing going on here. Slow down, man. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Where's your wife Sarah? They asked him. Oh, she's in the tent, he said. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him, ear to the door. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So you see, when we read this and you say, well, in those days, of course, people lived longer, and 190, well, I mean, that was like the new 30 and 40, surely. But no, remember when we looked at Noah and Enoch and we saw how the ages really decreased after the flood? Now, the scriptures are really clear in pointing out that 100 years of age and 90 years of age is quite exceptional at this stage. And it points out here that Abraham and Sarah are very old. So verse 11, Abraham and Sarah were very old, and Sarah's past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? You see the reasoning in her mind. She's trying to get her head around this. She's overheard it and she's thinking, no way. And she's laughing. This is not going to happen, surely. This is impossible. So Abraham laughs when he finds out about this promise, and Sarah laughs as well. No way. Well, verse 13, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid. She lied. She said, I didn't laugh. But he said, yes, you did. Can't hide anything from God. What was Abraham and Sarah's laugh? Was it the laugh of unbelief, if we said, or the laugh of just saying, this is never going to happen? The laugh of scorn? Well, we're not fully sure what it was. But there was they saw the humour of the situation, whatever their reason for their laugh. When in verse 14, the angel says, is anything too hard for the Lord? We've got to believe there that Sarah changed her mind. If her laugh was a laugh of unbelief, that'll never happen. If that was the laugh, then when she heard, is anything too hard for the Lord, she changed her mind. And she knew that nothing was too hard for the Lord. And that's why she backtracked. So I didn't laugh. But two wrongs don't make a right. So here's the promise. It's given. Abraham, you're going to be a great nation. Abraham, all people on earth are going to be blessed through you. So you're going to have a child. And the child is going to be from you and Sarah. And you're going to be 100. And Sarah's going to be 90. And it might make you laugh, because it might seem impossible, but is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, chapter 20, chapter 19 takes place, which is enough to make us cry. Chapter 20 takes place, which is enough to make us cringe. And then chapter 21 takes place. And in chapter 21, verse 7, this is what we read. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. And Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. And Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And whatever the laugh was before, here now is a laugh of joy. Verse 6, God has brought me laughter. There's a lot of laughing going on in this childbirth, which is not the usual kind of thing for childbirth. So let's say it happened after the childbirth. There's a lot of laughter going on. Even the name of the child, Isaac. The footnote in the IV tells us that Isaac's name means he laughs. So every time they called Isaac, they were calling, he laughs, he laughs. You know how many times a parent calls the child by its name throughout its life? Must be thousands of times. So he laughs, come to tea. He laughs, time for bed. He laughs, time to get up. Well, it made Abraham and Sarah laugh. And it made other people at that time laugh too. And I think, in a little way, though we are a reserved, conservative, evangelical church, it's made us laugh, perhaps on the inside. In the end, the whole account, the whole of God's plan and purpose, though there were painful parts of it, yet it made Abraham and Sarah laugh. And all the people of God ever since have laughed at this. This is an amazing story. And it should make us laugh, or at least smile. Now it's this then that the writers of the Hebrews picks up on. So turn to Hebrews at last. Turn to Hebrews. It's actually as doing this as we close. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, Abraham, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. There's something true here about Sarah, verse 11. She was past childbearing age. She was 90. Something true about Abraham, verse 12. He was as good as dead. There's not a lot of hope there, is there, really, to have a child? It does seem impossible. Abraham, the good-as-dead man, Sarah, the past childbearing age lady, have a child. Something wonderful happens. Sarah, verse 11, was enabled to have children. Abraham, verse 12, became descendants, had descendants as many as the stars and the sand. God did something impossible. What part did faith play in all this? Verse 11, by faith this happened. What did Sarah believe? Verse 11, Sarah considered him faithful who had made the promise. Where was Sarah's faith based? It wasn't in herself or her age. Of course not. It was in God's promise. That was where her faith was based. She knew this would happen because nothing was too hard for the Lord. She'd heard it said, so she changed her mind. Nothing was too hard for the Lord, so she knew it would happen because of God's faithfulness. Abraham, where was his faith based? Well, without turning to it, Romans chapter 4 tells us that Abraham was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. So Abraham's faith was in God's promise as well, and God's power. Now you've got to grasp this, because this is the whole point of the message this morning. They did not get hung up about the impossibility of the promise. That seemed laughable. But Abraham and Sarah considered the power of the God who can do the impossible. That's where their faith was. Abraham and Sarah did not get discouraged by the feebleness of their bodies, but they were encouraged by the faithfulness of their God. He will keep his promise. They did not cave in at the impossible circumstances they were in, but they lifted their eyes to the God who can do the impossible. Their faith enabled them to believe that the impossible can be done. Sarah believed the faithfulness of God. Abraham believed the power of God. And together, what a combination between that husband and wife. Abraham says to Sarah, "This is going to happen." And she says, "I know. It's going to happen because God is faithful who made the promise. God is powerful. He can keep the promise." And when it happened, it made them laugh. Do you know there are things about our faith that make us smile? God has made certain promises to us that seem absolutely impossible to us, absolutely out of this world. God has said he's going to do amazing things for us that when we consider our sinfulness and our feebleness and our inability and God's promise, we just have to say, really? God says, your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. And we say, but do you really know what I've done? And then we smile at the joy of sins forgiven. God says, you will be my adopted child. And we say to ourselves, but does God really know what I'm like? And then we smile as we say, Abba, Father. And God says, I would declare you righteous in Jesus. And we say, but we're so guilty. And then we smile when we think, there's no condemnation for us. And God promises that his Spirit will live in us. And we say, but I'm so feeble. And then we smile when we remember we are the temple of the living God. And God says, I'm going to give you a resurrection body. And you say, oh boy, I really need that resurrection body. My body is weak and it is ill. And we rejoice and smile with joy unspeakable. And God says, you're going to live forever in heaven with Jesus. And you say, but I feel like such an earthling. But then we smile and laugh as we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then God says, one day, you are going to be sinless, perfect, through and through, perfect in your body, perfect in your mind, perfect in your emotions, perfect in your heart, sinless. And we say, what, me? And then we smile as we say, hallelujah, what a saviour. You see, we believe that those things will happen not because we deserve them, but because he who has made the promise is faithful and he will do it. We believe those things not because we have the power and the ability to bring them about ourselves, but because God has the power and the ability to do it. He is able. And this is the reason we will be saved. Not because of us, but because God is faithful and God is powerful. And if he has said that if you believe in Jesus, you'll be saved, then if you believe in Jesus, you will be saved. And we may laugh when we consider our own inability and feebleness, but we will smile when we consider God's faithfulness and power. It really is enough to make you smile. I'm going to be sinless one day. Just like Abraham and Sarah, that night when Abraham, with a glint in his eye, said, Sarah, come on. And she says, Abraham, you're as good as dead, man. And he says, I'm 100, but you're 90. Come on, God's promised. We're spared the details. But 9 months later, there was a baby who made them laugh. And us, can you imagine how much we're going to laugh when we get to heaven? Can you just imagine that? It makes us smile now. There, we shall laugh for all eternity. Because God, who is faithful, has kept the promise. And God, who is powerful, has redeemed us to heaven forever. Amen. Amen.